20-year-old Brandon White was assaulted outside an Atlanta convenience store in 2012. The perpetrators were gang members, and they yelled homophobic slurs at White during the attack. But that last detail was not included in the police report, and that means White's case was not considered a hate crime. And that's actually not uncommon. A recent AP report shows more than 2,700 law enforcement agencies nationwide failed to report hate crime data between 2009 and 2014. Police departments in Gwinnett, DeKalb, and Fulton counties are missing years of data, and the Atlanta Police Department is suspected of having more cases like Brandon White's. Christina A. Cassidy investigated this topic for the Associated Press, and she joins us now. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Celeste.
First, can you give us a definition of hate crime? What does it mean?
Sure. A hate crime is a crime where it was motivated by bias, and it could be against a race, a religion, sexual orientation, ethnicity.
Can it be, but I assume that when you talk about sexual orientation, that also includes transgender as well, LGBTQ, all of that.
Yes.
Hate crime. How do they determine that it was motivated that way? What's the legal sort of standard for motivation?
Well, the guidance from the FBI is that a reasonable person would conclude that the crime was motivated by bias, and they issue various guidelines to law enforcement agencies, scenarios that they can look to and questions that they can ask about a case. For instance, if the victim was a minority in the community, or if a number of people within the community believe that the crime was a hate crime.
So let's go to Brandon White then. He was the Atlanta teen who was assaulted in 2012. First, let's hear a comment from Brandon.
You know, it's sad because you have to walk down the street and worry about what's going to happen to you, if anything's going to happen to you. I believe no one should have to fear whether or not they're going to be attacked or if they're going to be beaten just because of their sexual orientation or even race for that matter.
Brandon was 20 years old at the time of the attack, but because the attackers yelled homophobic slurs, does that mean it would qualify as a hate crime?
Yes, and in fact, the U.S. Department of Justice pursued hate crime charges against the attackers. Georgia is a state that does not have a state hate crimes law, so in state court, the attackers were not charged with hate crimes. They were charged with assault.
So why do police officers often leave this out of their reports? I mean, the hate crime law has been in effect for quite a long time, decades, so why is it not part of basic procedure?
Well, I think from the perspective of the Atlanta Police Department in particular, that year, 2012, they had a retirement in the office. And so that may have had some effect regarding the lack of reporting of Brandon White's case to the FBI.
Why would that affect the lack of reporting?
I'm not sure. That's what the explanation was given to me.
Oh, I see. That's what they told you.
Yes, that is what they told me. And so, but if you're looking at a broader perspective, a lot of the local law enforcement agencies that I spoke to in the course of my investigation, some thought they were reporting and they weren't because of some technical issues or clerical error. Some believe that they didn't have to report this information because they didn't have any hate crimes. But the FBI wants all local law enforcement agencies to be submitting this data so that we can have a comprehensive and accurate count each year of the number of hate crimes that are happening in the U.S.
What is the count right now, knowing that it's not complete?
Right. So each year, the FBI report notes somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 hate crimes happening across the U.S. But as you noted, and our investigation found, 17% of all local law enforcement agencies across the country did not file a single report over the six-year period that we studied, and thousands more had gaps from year to year in their reporting.
Which means the number of hate crimes is much larger than we think.
We have no idea how big it could be.
Why does it matter? How is a hate crime prosecuted or treated differently when it comes to the legal system?
Well, I think from the perspective of those who've been victims of hate crimes and the people that I spoke to, including Brandon White, this reporting is very important to them. Certainly, Brandon White's case, the attackers found justice. They were prosecuted in the courts. But the fact that it wasn't included in the national count was painful and disappointing because, as one person said, if these crimes aren't really counted, it's almost like they weren't important. And to really have an understanding of the scope of hate in the U.S., this is a big benchmark for that. We look to the FBI statistics, and if the FBI statistics are not complete, then do we really understand the scope of hate in the U.S.? That's a question yet to be answered.
It is. Let me play you this comment from Pastor Raphael Warnock of Ebenezer Baptist Church here in Atlanta. He's talking about why he thinks hate crimes go unreported.
I think these crimes go underreported for political reasons. Sometimes people don't feel it in their interest to be honest about this, when the reverse is true. We cannot come out of this by engaging in a kind of dangerous denial.
Now, understanding that you are a reporter, and I'm not asking you to analyze motivations of either perpetrators or police departments. But why? What does he mean, political reasons? What are the political reasons that might possibly keep a police department from reporting this?
Well, I think the concern that was expressed to me by activists and community groups is that police departments may not want their cities to be known as sort of a place where a lot of hate crimes happen. But I didn't find any evidence of that in my reporting. When I spoke with the law enforcement agencies, not a single one of them said, we're not reporting this. They all, you know, said we thought we were, or there was a technical issue that we found, and we're going to be more aggressive going forward. And I think that's sort of the outcome of this project as a whole, is to see better reporting.
Although we can't go back now. Those years of lost data are gone. We can't go back and recreate it.
Correct.
So hopefully going forward, we'll get better information, and maybe that will tell us, give us at least some kind of context to understand what the numbers may have been in the past.
Correct.
So through your investigations, did you find that it's hate crimes in particular in which they're having difficulty with reporting, and technical difficulties and all those things that you just explained? Or is there a problem with reporting police statistics in other areas?
Well, this project was limited in scope to hate crimes, but there were instances where we found departments were regularly reporting violent crimes through the FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting System. But for some reason, hate crimes, that data wasn't getting reported. And it can be, as we found, an instance of reporting systems and checking a box that they didn't know that they had to check a box. And so, again, going back to what we just talked about, hopefully this process is, you know, encouraging law enforcement agencies to go back and look at their procedures and figure out why they weren't reporting. And if it's a matter of checking a box that they weren't checking a box, then moving forward, they'll check the box.
Check the box. My guest is AP reporter Christina A. Cassidy, and we're talking about the widespread lack of hate crime reporting by local law enforcement agencies, including agencies in Gwinnett, DeKalb, and Fulton, and Atlanta. You know, the reason why I asked that last question, Christina, is because we know, as we try to compile data on police shootings, for example, that there is a lot of police data many people assume is being collected and is not. How difficult is it to get these kind of numbers and statistics from local law enforcement agencies?
It can be challenging. And as we found in our investigation, quite a significant number of agencies are not submitting this information.
So how do you then move forward from here? Do you just start trying to keep track of this data? Are there particular ways or people that you can can start to have an effect on the way it's collected and recorded?
I think over time, we'll definitely see. Certainly, the FBI has been making a big push to increase reporting specifically on hate crimes. They've been having training sessions around the country. They revised their manual and have sent that out to local law enforcement agencies. Director James Comey has spoken about this particularly. And so I think that we're already starting to see a little bit of an improvement in the data. Hopefully, the attention through this project and the questions. We had reporters from newspapers, TV stations, radio stations across the country calling their local agencies, asking them, you know, why they weren't reporting this data. And hopefully, you know, in a year or two, once the 2016 data and the 2017 data is reported and collected and reported on, that we'll see that the number of participating agencies has increased.
Is it required by, I know the FBI asks for it, but is it actually required for the police departments to submit this? You're already shaking your head.
It is not. It's a voluntary system.
And does it cost money?
For hate crimes in particular, not an additional amount. I mean, they're already reporting the violent crimes.
Which they're
statistics.
Required to. What kind of things are they required? What's required for them to report to the national databases?
They're not required. The whole system is voluntary.
Oh, okay. So possibly someone could say it costs money if they're not reporting anything. If they had to start from scratch, I guess. That's completely hypothetical, which is not where Christina A. Cassidy wants to go. So what is your final question moving forward, other than checking back in to make sure that these things are actually being reported? What else is left unanswered for you?
Well, I think it's also these cases that seem to have fallen in the cracks. The ones that have been very prominent, like the Brandon White case. And so I think that moving forward, it's going to be important to keep track of these big cases and make sure that, you know, they were reported and counted.
Okay, that is AP reporter Christina A. Cassidy. She reports for the Associated Press. Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.